Hello, folks, and welcome to yet another installment of the ShowbizMonkeys.com kinda, sorta, maybe like a podcast. This one was not supposed to be a podcast, actually. It was supposed to be a shorter video interview, but I met up with Mr. Lee White of Winnipeg improv duo Crumbs, and we started talking, and next thing you know, 40 minutes later, we had this epic interview. So it's a little long for video, quite a bit long for video, but there was too much good stuff in here to have it go to waste, so instead we are making it a podcast. So download this, listen to this. We also have the debut of a new segment courtesy of Lee's suggestion where we ask 5 random questions at the end of the interview. So look forward to that at the end of this. Lee's answers are very amusing and interesting and funny. So in this interview you'll hear about how Lee started in comedy, how Crumbs began about 15 years ago now, about their touring throughout Europe for the last decade or so, about the upcoming Winnipeg Improv Festival, which is this week, if you're listening to this right when this is posted. There's stuff about his comedy game show, the Winnipeg comedy scene in general. So take a listen, enjoy, and leave your comments below if you feel so inclined.
I'm alright. Around this town, I'm alright. I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire. Move to the left, man. No
When I was a kid, basically the most attention you could get in the house was if you were funny. If you were being like rude or throwing a tantrum, no one really paid attention at all. Uh-huh. But if you said something funny, people laughed, and hearing my sister and my mom laugh was a huge thing. And so it basically just sprung from that, wanting to make my sister and my mom laugh. And then I started standing in front of the TV, saying, "Hey mom, look at me, I'm funny." And she said, "That's great, but I'm watching TV." And then she sent me to theater school around when I was about 10, so I always sort of felt like I wanted to perform. I don't remember having a point when I was like, "I want to be a fireman," or I'm sure there was a phase like that, but I don't remember it. I decided pretty early on that I was going to be a funny person. Well, in the sense of actually performing improv, like taking a suggestion and doing scenes, that started while I was in theater school, or Manitoba Theater for Young People, in the late 80s, I guess. But we started doing it, sort of asking our audience to come out. In 92 is when I first started doing improv on a stage in front of the audience, kind of a thing. But I've been doing it in classes and in other sort of comedy performances that I had done. When I would do like a little sketch at school for a project or something, I would always have stuff that I thought I was going to do, and then I would end up improvising. So, I mean, technically, you know, I was improvising, blah, 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 blah. But the easiest answer is 92 on stage is when I started to try to be a professional improviser. I think that was the question you asked, even. I would stay up and watch a lot of Saint Live and Laughing and other TV shows, and then when I would go to school, I would steal it, imitate it, and improvise and play with it. And a lot of times I had no idea what I was actually making a joke about. I didn't understand the adult humor of it. But apparently I didn't do anything too offensive, so I didn't get in too much trouble.
What kind of venue do you have to in Winnipeg for that kind of performance?
Shakespeare and Theater at the Gas Station Art Center. It's been there for a long time, working with smaller companies. What else was there? We had Theater X opened up a space known as Venue 8. It was based off of a fringe venue that was there 1 year, and then figured out that we could kind of take it over. And so with Theater X, we took it over, and it became officially Venue 8. And for, I don't know how long it was, maybe 4 or 5 years, we had that as a space. And so that's where Steve and I really cut our teeth with our first group there, and doing, you know, shows every weekend pretty much. And, you know, there was a couple other little spaces here and there that would pop up and disappear. But, you know, to be honest with you, there's not really a lot of theater venues in that sense. Most of the places that we've performed over the years are bars and taverns and restaurants that have sort of turned into a comedy club or a makeshift improv night, churches, malls. There's a lot of different places. Yeah, when we started with Clubs, we had a third member of three actors, and that was late 97, and we started doing sketch and improv, and within 2 or 3 years, really, we had pretty much stopped doing sketch comedy. It was so much extra work to write it all, to get all the props and everything ready, to do the rehearsing for it, all of the arguing that went on with, you know, how to say a line of dialogue, you know, how to eat a piece of cheese on stage, you know. And once you've had the same artistic argument over and over again for so long, it just gets to the point where it's like, well, we don't argue about the improv in the sense, because it's just happening organically and we're just letting it be, so can't really be mad at each other. For some reason, as soon as we were writing, we got too much into personal artistic freedoms, and I'm exaggerating a bit, but I would say somewhere around 99, 2000, we pretty much just started focusing on improv, and that's when we started traveling and touring and working that way. Our third member left, and Steve and I have been working with a couple different musicians and stuff. But like you said, mostly lately it's been with DJ Honeycutt, who's been absolutely amazing to work with. Definitely a lot more people working in the world of stand-up, especially in the sort of, I don't know if you want to call it underground, independent, alternative stand-up scene. And that scene's grown a lot, especially since the early 2000s. With improv, what's really changed is a lot of the people that have done the high school improv games are starting to come up, and they're starting to make their own groups now. They're starting to make their own teams, if you will. And they've really started to, you know, create their own things and to try to find their own spaces and discover their own work. And so for the first time in Winnipeg, you have a lot of really young people who are really trying to push the art form of improv, not just trying to be on stage performing it. And so it's kind of an interesting I don't know what the right word would be, but farm. There's a lot of seeds that are planted right now, and I guess through how they grow. But there's some really amazing, fun, talented people in Winnipeg right now. And I think the other thing too is that, I mean, you know, we've been doing improv, been promoting it in Winnipeg since, you know, like around 92. And there's a lot more people that know about it now and are able to understand what the idea of an improv show is. And that wasn't like that in 92. I mean, most people, if you say improv, they at least go, oh, okay, I get it. You play this game or you make up little scenes, you know. Everyone's got some little idea of it. So that's changed immensely in the last 10, 20 years for sure.
In the last 7 years, you've been involved with specifically with the pre-fed pub, with the pre-fed characters, which is on Tuesday nights, with friends, a couple times a month, with that we're running for, but also with this new sort of setup of the master of the that happens on the other occasions, a couple times a year through the pre-fed of the pre-fed, Brinzo.
The concept came from me, I get obsessed with things, so I went through and go through different game show phases where I'm just obsessed with one game show. I try to watch as much of it as I can, especially from different eras, like if it's a long-running show. And then for a while I got really into just obscure 70s game shows, and taking that and then putting it to, there is a Tuesday, every, you know, fourth month or something, there's an extra Tuesday in the month. And so we have it, you know, there's stand-up night, improv night, stand-up night, improv night. Well, there's this extra Tuesday, what's it going to be? And one day the improvisers were like, I don't want it, and the stand-ups were like, I don't got time to plan something. So then I was like, well, I'm going to do a game show. And so that's really just where it spawned from, this extra Tuesday in the month, and we needed a show, and I was going to use my obsession for the forces of good instead of just the forces of nerddom. Put it together, and the first one was really a big success. I mean, I was really excited. People came out and supported it right from the start, and it's an interesting, different show. I mean, it's not a scene-based show. There's no scenes in that sense, but it's completely improvised. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of the closest thing that we have to, like, a, you know, a Hollywood Squares for Canadian, or Winnipeg, I should say, Winnipeg comedians, you know. So it's a lot of fun, and we get to play all the fun games. We're playing Family Feud and Price is Right and Canadian game show Talk About. And the audience seems to really dig it, and the actors and the improvisers have a really good time, the comedians have a good time, because we just get to goof and be silly and have, like, a what all comedians love to do, the sort of one-up, who's got the better joke.
Uh-huh.
You know, every comedian's, when they sit around the table, that's all they're trying to do is be funnier than each other. So now you get them all there on stage trying to be funnier than each other, and it's magic. And then in the Fringe this year, we did the big Smart Improv show, which was a mix more of a game show and scenes. And that's been a lot of fun to develop that idea, to mix the two, more of an improv scene-based show and have the game show elements of it. And it's been really cool. And I should say that Jesse Mickey has been really cool helping me with the video stuff. And he's also just been really cool about sort of going like, yeah, we can do that. You know, it's when you try to figure out computer stuff on your own, you're like, oh, that's impossible. How do you do that? You know, at least that's the way I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, you know, download something or take a picture and get it onto my computer, but I can't write a program. And he was just like, yeah, we can do that. You just do this and that. And I'm like, yeah, but it's got to be like this. And he's like, look, you just hit this button. I'm like, oh, great. So he was actually a really big help in sort of inspiring me to go, yes, you can do this game show. So that was really cool. Yes, it'll be making its improv festival debut, and it's never been done in an improv festival before. Technically, we've only really done it the one time during the Fringe this year, and I'm a little nervous and excited to see how it goes, but again, we had during the Fringe, we had some really great improvisers in town, so I got lucky with the cast that we had that day, as well as the festival that's happening is going to have some really amazing, great players too, so I'm not worried about the improv part of it. I'm not expected to worry about my game part of it, so. But yeah, it'll be really cool to play and get other people from other cities feedback on it too, hopefully. First of all, the great thing about the festival for Steve and I, in one way, is that we get to invite these people to Winnipeg, these people who would, of course, they never come to Winnipeg, you know, for any other reason than to do an improv show with us.
Yeah.
And it also, for us, it's promoting the city in a sense and showing the world that Winnipeg is, you know, somewhere. You know, when people in Chicago here are like, oh, what are you doing this weekend, Joe Billy? He's like, oh, I'm going to Winnipeg. They're like, why are you doing that? He's like, there's improv there. And they're like, oh, that's a place in the world. It exists, you know. So in that sense, it feels really good to spread Winnipeg and to invite people here who we've talked to about Winnipeg, and they're like, Winnipeg's boring. We're like, no, come on down, check it out. So that's a really amazing, cool part of the festival for us. As far as who's going to be there this year, well, let me tell you. The great, amazing Joe Bill will be in from Chicago, and he's, or is it Bill Joe? No, it's Joe Bill. He's a really great guy. I had a chance to work with him last fall, so about a year ago, met him for the first time. And his improv brain, it was like meeting Obi-Wan Kenobi in a sense. Like, he has like this like calm, gentle wisdom of improv, and yet when he's on stage, it's more powerful. It's like the power of Darth Vader in the body of Obi-Wan Kenobi, if that makes any sense. So I'm really excited to play with him, and he's a really cool guy. And then our friends from Rapid Fire Theater are coming out, and Rapid Fire has been a huge part of the Crumbs' life. Edmonton is one of the first places that really helped us and supported us outside of Winnipeg, and so that was it's always great to have them come in and play, and their name is exactly what they're like. They're Rapid Fire. They're fast, and they're furious.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have... Mark Little from Picnic Face is going to be here, and when we first met them, they were just a regular old sketch comedy group, you know, and over the last few years, they really exploded onto the scene, and they've got TV show and movie and book, and they have enough promotion, I don't have to really do it, but...
We've even given them some, yeah.
And so Mark Little is so funny, and... to have him come out and play is going to be really great. I think the Winnipeg audience is going to enjoy that wonderful surprise of Mark Little. And it's always great to just work with a bunch of people and make an ensemble piece and do a show with a bunch of people that are really talented and amazing from all over the world.
We can touch all you want.
Okay. It's been an amazing journey, our European travels. On the one personal level, it's been really amazing, just as a human, to learn about what the world is like, and that's made me a better person on the inside, which I really think is important to grow as an individual.
Yeah.
And, but as far as, like, the improv scene goes, when we first started going in 2001, the sort of major cities, the major sort of groups that had been there for, you know, 10 years or so, they were starting to look for something new. They'd been doing a lot of short form, and most of them had experimented or played a little bit with long form. And also keep in mind, like, just when, even in the old days, when we would say long form and short form, it would even slightly refer to how fast you were improvising, uh-huh. You know. Short forms not only were short scenes, but they were short, fast, comedy-based, go, go, go. And the long form was anything that you could take 10 minutes with and take your time and let it breathe, you know. So when we showed up, we took our time and, you know, we sometimes wouldn't ask for suggestions and we were very misunderstood, but very loved by the Europeans just because basically they have open minds to art.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a bit harder here at home. But also just their appreciation for theater in general is a lot stronger. And so that's been really great for us to meet an audience that's appreciative of the art form. Like when the show's over, they don't just like try to run out and leave before you've even done sort of bowing or saying thank you.
Yeah.
People are leaving. In Europe, like there's 3 or 4 encores. They don't want you to, you know, do anything. You just got to go away and come back and then just go, yes, we're so happy you did something for us, you know. And so that's been really an eye-opener that different people can appreciate theater in a different way. Because when we were growing up, it felt more like we were this weird punk art kids who were, like, doing improv in a theater. What? That's weird, you know, like. And this last tour that we just had, we actually met up with some people that we hadn't seen in about, you know, 7 or 8 years. We'd been traveling different places, and we just hadn't been back to this one town for a little while. And it was really interesting to see the change and development in those people since we first met them, and they introduced them to long form, and what they are like as players now. It was really interesting to see that we've sort of help open minds and help inspire people to take bigger chances in improv, which only makes the scene better and makes the product better for the audience. So Europe is pretty cool. And when they're done building it, it's going to look great.
finally, this is the last one. You can pick up another one
You gotta have, like, some kind of, like I ask the same 5 questions at the end, and everybody, you know, like, what's your favorite sound? You know, what's your favorite smell? You know, you do something like that.
The final series.
No, I can't. So that has been a really awesome little trip. I'm trying to remember when I first did it my first time. But I don't know, maybe 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago. And I just kind of started with the idea of, like, can I write my own joke? You know, like, I know I can improvise it, and I can go out just in front of a microphone and be fine for 5-10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and not, like, I don't have that fear, like, because I'm used to being an improviser. So to actually write a sentence and then try to say that sentence again the exact same way for me has been an interesting fun challenge. And I think that's just sort of why I started it. I was like, I'm going to see if I can repeat myself. And I can repeat myself. I can. And it's been interesting. You got me on a weird day about it. Because I haven't been doing it as much the last, you know, maybe 6 months or so. Like, mm-hmm. just before this last tour and then the summer and blah, blah, blah. Like, so I wasn't really performing a lot. And part of the reason was because it's interesting you say, because I was having this fear of, like, I don't know what my voice is as a stand-up comedian. But in the spring, we ended up doing some stand-up, and we did a show in Croatia.
Okay.
And it was really interesting because the audience was so quiet until the end of the joke, like, they kind of let me have all my, like, lead-up jokes to my big punchline, and they'd be really literally like, mm-hmm, 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 and they're like, yes, very humorous. So it was the first time that I'd ever performed in front of a crowd, my North American material in front of a really foreign crowd.
Yeah.
And I was the foreigner, really.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But it went really well, and that was a night. Then I was like, oh, then what? I was really focused on what I wanted to do. So my goal is to be really good at it, so that when people see me walking down the street, they go, "Hey, I saw that guy do stand up. He was really funny." That's my goal.
I think people already say that to me.
Yeah, but now it's like, okay, now you got to get out there, and you have to repeat and maintain, right. Repeat and maintain, repeat and maintain. And I haven't been doing very well, because I've been maintaining good, I just haven't been repeating
well. Ah, yes.
I've maintained the same level of stand-up goodness level. That's bad English. I've been in foreign countries too much.
That's fine. And you pick up some other languages, and I'm sure you could use some German to eloquently explain your
point.
I got it.
Well, I mean, at least think about it. I think with one that's kind of sort of open and mysterious, like, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Something like that. But obviously not that one.
No, I think that would be,
yeah, you know. So, or maybe, you know, like, you know, what's your
favorite?
That's interesting. My first thought isn't about one that I would want to watch, but I would think that Goofy and Jar Jar would somehow get together and make a great, not a great comedy duo, but a comedy duo. Well, that's a tough one. I would probably want Jabba the Hutt to come back. Maybe if they would do, like, Fantasia.
Okay.
And Jabba would be, like, one of the pink elephants dancing in the circus or whatever it was. You know, something like that. But redo Fantasia with just Star Wars characters. And you can just CGI that. You don't have to hire anybody.
Yeah. They have that ability now.
Yeah, well, they won't even... I don't think there's actually going to be any human actors in the new movies that they're going to make. Which would be great, because I like cartoons.
Yeah, I'm tired of humans in general.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's another thing we could talk about for hours. very sick and done with human beings. Go away. Come to the shows and hang out at showbizmonkeys.com. But when you're not doing one of those two things, just go away.
Yeah.
Just, nobody needs to hear you.
I agree.
That's a terrible tweet.
Alright.
That was
a tough one.
I don't know how poignant that question is going to be in 5 years from now if you're asked to do it again at another time. Oh, that's a tough one. Well, I'm going to have to go with halloumi. Halloumi is a kind of cheese.
Okay.
And, you know, when you would go for, like, a falafel or what they would call a doner, you know, like, or a meat shawarma, you have often this vegetarian option of a halloumi. And it's basically just deep-fried cheese, but it's a specific kind of cheese. And when you bite into it, it's all about the texture. I don't want to say it's got a texture to it, and it's wonderful. So halloumi is something I discovered while I was on the road, and that's my answer. I'm going to stick with that.
You're sticking with that.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's a great question. I already thought of your answer, and I was like, I'm just going to say this answer, and I was going to say something about Remembrance Day, but that won't fit at all. What's at the top of my iTunes playlist? Now, what do you mean at the top? You mean the
people? Well, what are you listening to the most right now? Like, that seems to be repeated.
Well, as I explained to you a little earlier, I get obsessed with things,
mm-hmm.
and so the last little while I've been obsessed with some of the old music that I listened to when I was just after high school, a lot of the punk rock music that I liked. So right now I've been getting into SNFU, and when I say getting into them, getting back into them,
right.
and their original albums, and I just finished reading a book about SNFU, and it was a pretty good book. I got to admit, and if you're a fan of SNFU, if you're not a fan of SNFU, it's a really boring book. but I really dug it, and so that kind of inspired me. So this old great Canadian punk rock band SNFU, that's the music that's at the top of my playlist this month.
Right.
But I don't really listen to like popular like new music. Like I'm not gonna.
I don't need you to.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
You don't have to. Well,
but
don't you feel like you have to explain.
There's the internet. Someone's going to be like, that's punk band from like 1980, whatever. Who cares? You know, let's listen to some Britney Offspring.
I think the internet is the opposite. I think the internet is like, why are you listening to Britney Offspring?
I was reading up a new pop band.
When you could be listening to SNFU.
Yeah, well, I know that's what I feel, but I don't push the comment button. I type it. I just don't push the button to send. And
you want it
to
send.
Oh, I'm mad at you for listening to your Britney Offspring album, but then I just don't hit click. I was writing reviews for restaurants that I had never been to. and specifically. Restaurants like really far up north where only two or three people are ever going to go to these restaurants. But then once you hit click, you know, hit send or comment or whatever, then they're like, you got to fill out all this information. And I'm like, ugh, no thank you. Too much work. Mm. So I just don't even hit the send anymore. I just write and... Magic internet gods, it's all saved somewhere.
It
has to. Alright, that was four. You got one?
That was three.
That was three?
Yeah, I was three there.
Okay. I like to see what interesting. If I said interesting, well, I thought you have to have an interesting backdrop when you do it. Now I feel like there's something. All right. Interesting and odd jobs that I've had over my life. Interesting and odd jobs I've had over my life.
The most, if you can count down to one.
All right. The most was I worked in, I guess, as a carny guy. I would do the games. When you go to, like, the Buffalo Barbecue or Charleswood and Motion Days or, like, little areas of Winnipeg, and they each have, like, a little carnival during the summer, and you ride the Tilt-A-Whirl and some slide with a mat or a burlap sack kind of thing, and then you buy corn dogs, and then, you know, there's a crappy little stage where the band that's been playing at high school, you know, for 3 years, they graduated and now they're gonna play. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
All right. I just needed some kind of
No, I do. I do. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So everyone.
I was getting a feel for the actual. I was right there.
So I worked. My friend's uncle owned or ran. Well, I can't remember the name of the company was, but the crazy carnival shows. And so we would go to different areas of town every weekend, basically, and like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we would just stand in this box and say, like, pick a duck. And my friend, because I guess it was his uncle, he got the really cool game, which was like the spiral, where you had a metal rod and you had to kind of move this spiral, kind of rod down the spiral. And I just would work like the duck pond or the, like, you know, I spin a big wheel and you put a dollar on a blue square, and if it comes up blue, you win a dollar, you know. And so we ended up, because he was so good at the spiral game, we ended up being like the kings of the Red River X when it came to town, because he could clean up on this machine and get really big bears. And that was a lot of fun. So that was the weirdest thing, because you would meet really messed up people who, like, you know, people who really feel that corn dogs and candy floss is an actual meal, not just a delicious treat. And it was a great opportunity for a young boy figuring out, you know, what it's like to become a man and have the access to a lot of stuffed animals when there's other young girls of that same age who really want stuffed animals.
Yes.
You really learn a lot about yourself and what you'll sell out for. But needless to say, I didn't keep that job for the next summer again, because they weren't making money from all the bears I was giving away to the beautiful ladies.
So you didn't keep the job, but did it work out for you?
In many senses. I made more than enough money from the job, and I made more than enough, let's say, I collected enough phone numbers.
Yes.
I collected enough phone Good. Numbers. And plenty of stories that you can't tell on the internet. You just can't.
The internet is a place where things need to be kept.
Well, I'm not going to be one of those kind of people, you know. But it's just like Las Vegas. When you work at a carnival, it stays at the carnival. You were able to think of a question while I was telling that amazingly interesting story. Wow. You are incredible. Well, as you notice, I do have a beard. This is the first time I've ever grown a beard in my life. This is technically the first interview that this beard has ever done. And, interesting. It was horrible for like 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Then it was interesting for a week. Then
Good word choice.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, okay, almost fun. You could kind of grab it at that point and kind of do some things with it. And now I let it go. I haven't saved it or trimmed it or done anything to it. This has just been straight, you know. And so normally I'm a big no beard. But right now, I kind of like it. So I'm going to go with right now. We'll see again in the next time. Hopefully we do another interview again sometime in our lives.
Yes.
And, but right now, beard good. Thank you. I will need luck. 75% luck, 20% hard work and sweat, and 5% just insane self-hatred and loathing. I hope so. Bye, everybody.
ShowbizMonkeys.com.